before we go to the Ministry of the Word, just in line with the prayers and what we've had, I believe our stood Sister Patorel has an indication also in that line. So we'll just give her a few minutes to share with us so that we can, by the time we go back home during the week, we know, you know, where to take our prayers from. So please, can someone just give her the mic, the second mic?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You forgive me, I know my English is not too good.
Great.
So I will try to explain. I had a dream this night, and I was in the city. In that city, there were some people who had a white garment. But that white garment, it wasn't just white. It was shining. It was like a diamond. So, and some of those people wasn't aware that they have that garment. And I was one of them. Then the government was able to identify the people who had that kind of garment. And they called them. They said, we need you. Why they need them? It's because there was a virus in the city. And those people, they are the one who was supposed to stand up for that city. So the government contacts all those people, me including, and they asked them to start to do a workout. You know, before you exercise yourself, you have to do
training.
Yes.
Warm up.
Yes, a warm up. So, and then you can start to exercise. When the government identified those people, the rest of people was happy. There was some hope that the virus will go. And then when I woke up, I was thought in my mind. And I was, is it coronavirus or something of that? Because I forget some part of the dream. So I pray and ask God, please remind me the dream if you want me to share it with the brethren. And then I remember the dream. I wrote it. And God tell me, we are the one. Everyone here has that white garment. Some of us doesn't know, but you have it. And we need to stand up. We need to pray for the city. We need to pray for the country. We need to pray for the world. We are the one. We are like the watchman, I can say. The army. Yeah, we are the one who has to pray, and then we can. That's what I had to share. Thank you.
Amen. The Spirit of God is one, and it's a sign that the Lord is telling us to rise up and take our positions as sons, you know, and stand in the gap. Amen.
Amen.
I was told there was another indication, but please permit me. I won't be able to give you a chance to speak because of time. But please, you can as well share it in the group, you know, the WhatsApp group, so that we can all partake of it, and so that we can, you know, have a sense of direction on what to pray about. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's just take this song before we go into the time of the word. This song that says, We cry, Abba Father.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. We cry, Abba Father.
Everlasting to everlasting.
from everlasting, everlasting.
Name of Jesus. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We recognize that we have to light up the world. We recognize that we have to bring sweetness to the earth. And Lord, we make this declaration that we take hold of our responsibility by your grace, by your spirit, and we do that which you have ordained us to do. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you because your grace is sufficient for us. Thank you because your grace is sufficient for us. We give you praise, our Father. Lord, we just hand over the ministry of the word into your hands, O God. We ask that the Holy Spirit of God present here would take over this atmosphere for Jesus. We ask that your word will come out with power and with authority. We ask that your word will do that which you have sent it to do in our midst this morning. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. By the grace of God, we've come to the the finale of the topic we've been looking at. So by the time we'll be here next week Sunday, I may not be the one to come on. Just see me there. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so but we just have a few minutes, to spend, and I believe God for speed and accuracy. To just hit the nail on the head. And the grace of God is available for us. Amen.
Amen.
So we are going to continue from where we stopped last week. I believe we looked at the life of Jacob last week. And then we're going to continue from there very quickly and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
So please, brothers and sisters in the Lord, just follow through as we go on, because I believe the Lord has something for each and every one of us.
Amen.
We will not go back the same way we have come today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The theme of the theme scripture of this series is Jude verse 3, that says we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And we took a dive into the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where we began to see the lives of men that through faith they were able to touch, they were able to establish the purpose of God here on earth. And all we are doing is taking lessons from them. The Bible says all these things are for our examples. So if the Lord does not want us to check an example, it won't be there. And as a good student and as a good child of God, before we solve any problem, we look at the examples that are given before we any student that forget the example and just jumping, he says I too know. But we have Christ as the head.
Yeah.
Amen. He's also an example. Amen?
Amen.
So by the grace of God, we'll be starting from the from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, and then we'll also, last week I skipped a particular character that was Sarah. We're also going to talk about her and the rest of the women in Hebrews 11. So just preparing our mind that when we start talking, I may be talking directly to our sisters. Amen?
Amen.
So please,
Amen.
Just preparing our mind. I've been talking to everybody, but I believe there's a
portion,
that is meant for our sisters in this particular scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we happy?
Yes, we are.
Are we happy?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Let us be happy.
Amen.
We are
joyful. We are more than happy.
Amen. So, Hebrews 11:22, it says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That what? What was the commandment he gave concerning his bones? That he should carry it. Do not leave my bones in Egypt. Says by faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention. Very prophetic man. He made mention of the departing of Israel out of Egypt. And he gave them a command. He said, when you leave Egypt, one thing, if you forget everything, one thing you have to remember is that you have to carry my bones with you. My bones will not be buried in this land. By faith, Joseph gave a commandment regarding his bones. What is the lesson that the Lord wants us to learn from there? What is the Lord wanting to expand to us in regards to this, you know, move of Joseph or this commandment that Joseph said unto the children of Israel? I believe it's in Matthew, where it says that we should lay up our treasures in heaven, where moths and rot are not, you know, available there to destroy. Can you help me with that scripture? So it says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. It says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break through nor steal. It says, for what? For where the treasure is, there will your heart be. So the heart of Joseph was not in Egypt. The heart of Joseph was in that land, was in the promised land. And that is why when he was about to die, the only thing he made mention of is that, please, don't leave me here. When the Lord stretched forth his hand of deliverance and rescued you from the slavery, from the bondage of Egypt, carry my bones along with you. Because there is a land whose dust is as gold. There is a land that God has prepared for you. I want to be a partaker of this. Joseph was a prime minister in Egypt, but his treasure was not there. He was a ruler in Egypt. He was the one everybody seek to run to for wisdom. But his heart was not in Egypt. He just knew he was in Egypt to serve a purpose.
Yes.
But all what he did in Egypt was just in connection to a land that his heart was longing after. So, and Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, that we should not lay treasure on the earth where moth and rust destroy or corrupt, but let us lay our treasures in the heaven where there is no moth, where there is no rust, where there is no corruption, where thieves will not come and break into it. He said, for where the treasure is, there the heart is also. I ask you today, where is your heart? Where are we laying up our treasures? Are we laying our treasures here on earth? Or we are laying our treasures in the heavenlies? When we talk about laying up our treasures, this is what we are saying. What are you investing in the most? What is that thing that is taking most of our investment? Where are we investing our time? Where are we investing our intellect? Where are we investing that which God has given unto us? Are we investing it on physical and ephemeral things? Or we are investing it on things of the Spirit that has eternal life? Don't lay your treasures where moth and rust can destroy. So that work we are doing, is not for us to lay up treasures here or not. It's not for us to remain just physical. It's for us to use that work as a platform to establish the kingdom of God. Joseph was in Egypt. Why? To rescue the children of Israel from hunger. And after he fulfilled his mission, he said, the Lord is going to take us out of this land. Because we are in this land not to come and stay there. There's a land that God has prepared for us. And when you are going out of this land, remember to take my bones along with you. The business we want to invest in. Are we investing it because we see that, oh, it can, you know, yield interest in within 2 months? Or we are investing in it so that it can serve as a platform to reach out to the lost souls? Where are we laying treasures? What is the motive behind whatever we do? Lay up your treasures in the heavens. People who are going to contend for the faith are people whose mind is after the things of the heavens. They are here on earth, but their heart is after a treasure. Their heart is after the things of God. Their heart is after the Spirit. They invest a lot in the things of the Spirit because that is what yields eternal life. They are doing things here on earth. They are students, they are businessmen and women, workers everywhere, but their treasures are not laid down there yet. Their treasures are laid down in the heavens. They invest their time, their moments, their days in the things of God. Because that is what can yield a true reward. Look at the parable of the servant. They were given talent to use, but what did the last servant did? He buried it on the earth. He laid the treasure given to him inside the earth. When we put our investment, you know, we pour our investment on earthly things, earth-based things, it's just going to remain the same. It's not going to yield anything. Whatever is going to yield will still remain on earth. But when we put our investment in the things of the Spirit, when we lay up our treasures in the things of the envoys, there's always a reward. He says, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So David's journey from Joseph's journey, sorry, from the land to Egypt was all because the Lord was preserving a people to reach a land. And by the spirit of prophecy upon the life of Joseph, he foresaw that a great deliverance is coming. A day of reward is coming. And he said, please, when the hand of the Lord is come to deliver you from the Egyptians. When he was saying these things, the children of Israel were not slaves. They were living fine.
That's it.
They were enjoying the goodness of the land of Egypt. They were enjoying the onion, the cucumber, the lettuce, everything, the spinach. They were living fine, you know. Keto diet and all stuff. Amen. But he foresaw, he said, this time is just but for a few moments. Everything is going to disappear right in front of your face. But the Lord who has brought you here will surely rescue you. So when you leave, do not leave my bone in Egypt. And after I died, what did the scripture say? He said, and there arose a new Pharaoh that do not know Joseph. And what? He enslaved the children of Israel. Our treasures, our investments, our time,
yes, sir.
Our lives, whatever we find ourselves doing, the motive should be investing on the things of God. So that at the end of the day, we will not put our hands on our head and cry. And say vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Peter said, knowing, you know, knowing that these things, they will melt away with fervent heat. What sort of men we ought to be? Are we men that would lay our treasures? Are we men that would be physically bound? Or we are men that even though we are in the physical realm, we also operate in the spirit. We also investing in the spirit. Lay up your treasures where moth and rust will not destroy or corrupt. The Lord will grant us grace in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Very quickly, verse 23, Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He said, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. Amen. We just want to see something in the life of Moses. There's a lot we can... We know the story of Moses. Moses was also a man who decided not to lay up his treasures, you know, in the things of Egypt. He was a commander in Egypt. But the Bible says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. A man who invested most of his time in relating with the invisible God. And we saw what, you know, came of Moses. Amen.
Amen.
But there's something I want us to see in the life of Moses, which the Lord will help us to look into. Exodus chapter 3, very quickly. Help me, Lord. Can we go to, I think, start from verse 7? Okay, now, this is the Lord speaking to Moses.
Yeah.
At this point in time, Moses has been exiled out of Egypt, you know, and he was tending for the sheep of Jethro. And the Lord came to him and said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Next one. And I am come down to deliver them. This was what Joseph was talking about. Out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them with. Can you help me find where Moses told God, if I go, what will I tell the children of Israel? Aha. So he said, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Next one. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of the land of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. This was Mount Horeb. Aha, very good. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Amen.
Amen.
When we look at this particular scripture that we've just read, when God came to Moses and said, I have chosen you to go back to Egypt, that land you ran away from, and rescue my people. They've been in slavery for a very long time. I need you to go back there and rescue them. Moses, a very wise man, and having understand that, okay, I know this is a very huge task, you know, for me to do. But I just have one question, Lord. When I go back there and I tell them the Lord has sent me to deliver you out of the hands of Pharaoh, what am I going to tell them? When they ask me who sent you, what am I going to say? And the Lord said unto him, You will tell them that the I am that I am has sent you. What is God trying to tell us here? And what God is trying to tell us is simple. Is what is your view of God? What view of God do you have? Or how will I better put, who is God to you? If you are going to contend for the faith, you have to know the God of the faith. If you are going to earnestly contend for it, there's a need for you to really know the God of the faith.
That's right.
So Moses is not worried about whether going. I know the road to go. All what I'm just worried about is, if I go there, I know these people. What will I tell them? What's your view of God? And I tell you, brothers and sisters, our view of God determines the level of understanding we have in regards to what Christ has done for us. So if we have a shallow view of God, you will have a shallow understanding of what Christ has done for you. If our view of God is like you are just seeing God as a Santa Claus, your understanding of the redemptive work of Christ will be as also Santa Claus. You know, Lord, for this period I've done well. You know, that's the lie they give to their children. If you do well, Santa Claus will write your name. And then when he's sharing gifts, he will come and give it to you. You know, and gift you because you have done well. So if you disobey me, we'll cancel your name from the list of Santa Claus so that you will not collect gifts this Christmas. Our view of God is a very, very important key in attaining and understanding what Christ has done for us. So, and that is why God will also take it on his own part to always reveal himself unto a man. At every landmark of our walk with God, God will come to you and say, I am your father. So at that point that is your father, everything a father does, you see God doing it to you. So at this point, Moses was not asking for anything. He just said, what will I tell them? And so that was the mindset Moses went with. The I am that I am has sent me. The I am that I am has sent me. He has sent me. So when God said, stretch forth the rod, it was not just a sound that was saying. What was coming to his mind is, the I am said, stretch forth the rod. So every landmark of our walk with Christ, of our walk with God, the Lord will always come and unveil who he is to you. At a point in time, what Job knew God as his redeemer. And he said, despite all this suffering, I know that my redeemer liveth. He had the view of God as his redeemer. And I ask you today, how are you seeing God? What's your view of God? Or is it just, it's just, you know, it's just a being that we can't see? If God is just a being that we can't see, You are not different from a monk in the mountain. Jesus viewed God as his father. And he went with that mindset saying, my meat is to do the will of the father. Every child's meat is to do the will of the father. We all have parents. And it's our duty and responsibility that we obey what our parents want. When we decide to disobey, we are knocking on the door of punishment and say, yeah, I have parents, but you know, you can't dictate my life. I have to do what I want to do. So our view of God determines how far and how well we work with God. So Moses was not, and when you look at the trend of the scripture, the Lord always does that. He came to Abraham. And what did he say? I am the Almighty God. And that was the mindset Abraham went with. When he said, God said, sacrifice the son whom thou lovest. Abraham said, I believe that the Almighty God will even resurrect him from the dead. Even by sacrificing. That was the mindset. That was the view he had about God. Every man, every of these people, at one point in time, the Lord came to them and told them. Sometimes I tell you, I am the God that healed thee. I am the God that healed thee. I am the Almighty God. I am the God that knows all things. And that is why when we say, you know, what we believe in is not just a religious routine. It's not just a religious routine. This is what we are saying. Because the God we serve is a God, I don't know how to put it. He is real. And he wants to present himself as real unto the people. And that's why God will give you something about himself and say, at this point of your life, you know, I know you're going through a lot of things, but at this point of your life, I am your Redeemer.
Amen.
And then you see that for months, you go with that mindset. The Lord is my Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. He's going to redeem me from this state of weakness. He's going to redeem me from this state that I find myself because he's my Redeemer.
Glory, glory, glory.
Another time will come and say, okay, this is another dimension of me. I am the great provider. And then you go again. Oh God, the God that provides. You know, he fed Elijah with the ravens. When Elijah was hungry in the desert, he's the God that provides. I know he's going to provide for me. I know I will not lack. The scripture says, yes, the long lions suffer it lack. But those that put their trust in the great provider will not suffer anything good.
Amen.
I believe that. And that phase go. Another phase come. And God say, okay, this time, this is another dimension. I am the God that healed thee. And then you go again. It's the God that healed me. Oh, you growth, you this, you sickness. The Lord that healed me has appeared unto me. He said he is my healer. Therefore, sickness cannot stay in my body. You go and you see the sick and say, the God that healed thee has appeared to me. Brother, you are healed in Jesus' name. God willingly and readily unveils dimensions of himself unto us. Why? Because every part of God must be mined. We must get every part of him. The gospel God has given unto us is not an incomplete one. It's a complete gospel. Amen?
Amen.
And so God, you know, if we don't push, God is willing to say, look, there is more. There is more of me that you can tap into. Amen.
Amen.
So our view of God must change today.
Amen.
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 Our view of God must change today. We can't just see God as we can't see him as just not Santa Claus. Just invisible. You know, it's just the invisible God alone. Yeah, we know it's the invisible God, but the Bible says he spoke unto us through Jesus Christ, his Son.
Amen.
So the aspect of invisibility is not... The disciple says, that which we have handled, that which we have seen.
It's not the unknown God.
It's not the unknown God. It's a God that wants to be known.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
So Moses, all what he was looking for is, I will go, but what will I tell them? So the Lord has sent us into this world. And it's the view that we have about God, that's what we tell the people.
Mm-hmm.
When people ask us, say, what do you, who sent you? What are you going to tell them? Tell them, yeah, I am that. I don't know, we have our personal dealings with God, so whatever God has unveiled to you about himself, that is what you tell the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a particular point in time in my life, the Lord came to me and said, I'm the great architect.
Oh.
Amen. I'm the great architect. Your life is in my hands. I'm the one that, I have the blueprint of your life. And I was so excited to tell people that the great architect, you know, has appeared unto me. He told me not to worry.
Yes.
That my life is in his hands. Hallelujah. And that is why when we talk about personal relationship, we need to take it seriously. There is a little to what we get just gathering here. But in our personal walk with God, there's more. There's a more outpouring that God does.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So when we talk about, hey, have a personal relationship, it's not just something we like to say. It's because that is where the true power source is. That is where a man will really grow into the dimension in which God wants him to grow. The Lord help us.
Amen.
So Moses, it was this mindset he went with, that when the Lord called him and said, yeah, come to Mount Sinai, he would say, Joshua, Aaron, please, I hand over the children of Israel to you. I'm going on a sabbatical.
Yeah.
I want to go and see. I want to go and see the I am.
Amen.
And Moses will go there 40 days. He will not come down. Why? He's enjoying the presence. No wonder in Deuteronomy chapter 33, Moses said, after 40 days, he came down from Mount Sinai. What did he see? He said, I saw the Lord with 10,000 of his saints. You know, coming down from Mount what? Mount Paran. Hallelujah. It was in that 40 days experience with God that Moses saw the beginning. And he saw the end. He saw the revelation.
Glory.
In 40 days. Why? The I am called me. I am going. This was what the children of Israel should have enjoyed, though. Because I remember the Lord telling them also, gather unto me. I want to speak. But they said, Moses, you know you had one that received the mantle, the calling. So you just go and come and tell us. While they were there, building calf, you know, golden calf, even Aaron. I'm very disappointed in that man. You that they've set as an high priest
of the gods of gods.
And then you come and say, behold the golden calf that brought you out of Egypt. When a man is up there interacting with the I am. A man is up there interacting with the Almighty God. And God was opening and exposing a lot of things with him.
And he has shown himself mighty on their behalf at the Red Sea. Enough for them to know. It's not like the gods of the earth.
You can hear that.
Yeah.
So our view of God must change today.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to. And that is why when we pray, you know, these are prayers and mindset a believer should carry. Whenever we are praying, we are studying the word. The first thing we should, before you look for revelation that you can use to keep people, or kill your friends or anybody. The first thing we should always look for is, Lord, unveil yourself to me.
Amen.
Unveil yourself to me.
Glory, glory, glory.
Unveil yourself to me. I know you are available. You are not hidden. You can be touched. You can be seen. You can be interacted with. So please, I want to study your word. I need a revelation of you from your word. And God does not disappoint in that. He will definitely unveil himself. And it is that you carry, and then you go out into the world and say, this is the God I serve. If they ask you, who are you? What do you? This is whom has sent me. The I am has sent me. Amen.
Amen.
And God told him, he told Moses in that Hebrews, he said, this is the name that I will bear forever. So the name I am is not just a name for the moment. It's a name that passed through millions of ages. Even if the word remains to exist, the I am still exists. It still stands. Amen.
Amen.
So by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the wall of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm just trying to. This is another woman that has been spoken of. So what I'm going to do is I will just gather the women to the end, so that I would talk about, because at the end, at verse 35 also it says women receive their dead back to life.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just be going and coming. So we also put Rahab and Sarah to verse 35. Amen?
Amen.
So, but we'll deal with it today. Amen. So, verse 32. It says, and what shall I more say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon. Our sister was speaking to us about Gideon yesterday, and we thank God for the Spirit of God. It's also the same scripture that we're going to look into and see what Gideon did. We will not go into the total story and picture of Gideon, but there's something that Gideon did that the Lord will have us do. People who are going to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saint. And we'll see that in Judges chapter 6, I believe. It says, and the children of I want where the Lord met with Gideon, still in chapter 6. Amen. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Next one. So this is where the Lord wants us to. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite. No, back to the 13. This is where we want to dwell. When the Lord came to Gideon and said, thou art a mighty man of valor. You know, I've come to you, you know, to rescue the children of Israel. There was a question that Gideon asked. And what is the question? He said, where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of. The angel came and said, the Lord wants to use you, mighty man of valor. Gideon said, okay, no problem. But where have you been all this while? You know, all the things that God has, where are all the miracles that God has wrought with our fathers? Look at us, we've been slaves to the Midianites for years. Where are those times? We want to experience those times again. And this should be the cry and desire of everyone that wants to contend for the faith. Where be all his miracles? I want to ask us, what kind of gospel have we received? Is it the gospel that let things just slide the way it is? Or the gospel that will stand up and say, I know that which I've received. This ought not to be happening. Where are those days when men will go to the hospitals and the sick will be discharged? Where are those days when men will stand without speaker, without mic, and thousands of people far and near will come and be delivered? Where be all his miracles? Men who are going to fight and contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. These are the kind of questions that should come up in our hearts. You know, some series of events happened for the past how many weeks now? 2 or 3 weeks. And I was like, God. No. This must not happen. And as I was meditating and looking at, you know, looking at different series of events, the only scripture that was just coming to my mind was, those that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Those that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. And when I was looking at the life of Gideon here with this question, I said, it's time we had to ask.
Hallelujah.
We want those days back.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
We've read stories. I'm tired of reading stories. I want those times back.
Amen.
Where be all his miracles? Now, there's a particular thing we do, you know, when we pray and then we don't see the hand of God. We say, you know, God has closed that particular age. I'm sorry to tell you, that's a false doctrine.
It is.
As far as the gospel is concerned, as far as the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, the whatever a believer experiences in terms of the miraculous, not only the miraculous, every dimension is all originating from the gospel. So if the window of grace is still open, why can't we experience those things? So if you say, we know God has sealed up those gates, please. We should not advocate that kind of doctrine. If we advocate it, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but we are acting like false prophets. Because we are misleading the people. What we are telling the people is that the gospel they've received is incomplete.
Yes.
So it's just only this side. You can only experience, you know, the blood, the and
the
redemption.
Table,
but every other one, you know, God has clued. Why? Where did you see that from? Gideon asked, where be all his miracles? God told him, the miracles, they are still there. They didn't go anywhere. It's just that men did not avail themselves. And so if you are going to contend for the faith, we need to start crying and say, Lord, we want those days back. I don't know what happened, how it went cold, but we have to revive it back. The days of the miraculous must come back. The days where we'll go and the dead will rise back to life. Where be all his miracles? Where be all his miracles? When I saw this scripture, I said, okay, this is the end. It's time for us to arise. You know, look at COVID turning everybody here and there. In the days of this man, John Dillick,
yes,
You think COVID will stand? COVID will not stand. Where beyond his miracles. So every the reality is God wants us to experience every dimension of the gospel. So when you hear people saying, you know, the gospel has so many possibilities that men can enter into, what is being said is that everything that makes up the gospel, we have to experience it. From the miraculous, from the redemptive blood, everything, name it. Everything we know that encompasses of the gospel, it is the believer's inheritance that we enter and you know, gain those dimensions. And then what will happen? We bring it and let everybody partake of it. So there are dimensions God is opening unto us. Amen.
Amen.
We need to avail ourselves. We can't just keep, you know, letting things just slide, you know. Somebody is sick, we'll pray. The person will not be healed. And then say, you know, God, the age of has closed. What age closed? There's no age that is closing. As far as the grace of God is still available. Until grace closes, that's when you can say, okay. But as far as the gospel is still being preached, we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
The word works.
So please, it's time for men, just like my sister said yesterday, we partner with God. We avail ourselves. Now, Gideon, after asking this wonderful question, when they say, okay, God said, okay, since you want those days back, I want to use you. He said, well, but I'm poor. You know, that's the problem. That's the main problem. We look at ourselves too much. You know, God said, okay, you've been crying that you want the miracle. Okay, avail yourself now. He said, ah, Lord, but Salawu is here now. You know, you can take hold of him. We look at ourselves too much. You know, sometimes I want to give Gideon benefit of that, you know, saying, a God came to you and said, I want you to do my work. And you know, they say, God, me. You know, I want to look at that. But at the same time, I also want to say, this is what we should expect. If we call ourselves children of God, we should expect that one day, God will come and say, okay, you're on assignment. Go and do this. It's like you telling your parents that I don't expect that you call me to send me on an errand. Your mother will look at you and say, are you drunk? And why am I your parent? Just imagine a kid telling his parents, say, I don't expect that you come in now to send me on an errand. Then why are you my child? And that's the same way when we look at ourselves, that's the same picture we paint to God. That, Baba, I don't expect that you come in now. But this is our disposition to be anytime, any day, I'm ready.
Hallelujah. In the mighty name.
Because I'm a child of God. And definitely the Lord will want to use me while I'm on earth. So when God comes to me, why will I say I'm poor? Why will I say, Lord, but I'm weak now? He say, Lord, but I have 7 siblings ahead of me. Choose one of them now. And later I will cry, where be all his miracles? They are there. But no man wants to stand in the gap. No man wants to lay down everything and allow himself to be unnerved by God. And we have to change that attitude today. If you want to see a full disposition of the gospel in the body of Christ, we need to start rising up to the challenge and say, Lord, the days of the miraculous must come back. The days where we speak and things happen, those days must come back. Gideon said, where be all his miracles? So please, God, there are dimensions that we are yet to tap into. And we can't leave them dormant. People need to tap into them. As as, you know, the, how do I put it? As the earth is clamoring and crying, say, oh, the resources have been depleted and this one, that one. There are resources that they've not even seen, and they are still here on earth, that they are yet to tap into.
That's right.
So there are dimensions in God that we need to tap into. So where are the men, where are the women that will arise and tap into these dimensions? Where be all his miracles? The Lord will grant us grace.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. It says, time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah. Amen.
Amen.
We want to see the man Jephthah also. How many of us have heard of Jephthah? It's good to, you know, read the stories of this man. Jephthah is another important person we're going to see. And this is Judges 7-9. I think it should be Judges 11 or 12. One of those. 11. Yeah. Amen. Now, you see, we need to change our view, you know. We need to change the way we see ourselves. Very, very important. Because when I look at these men, when the Lord met them, we know their state, we know their condition. Gideon was poor, he was weak. But when God came to meet him, what did he say? A man of valor. When Jephthah, son of an harlot, came, what did the Bible describe him as? Man of valor. I think I said this last week or the previous one, that we need to walk in the reality of how God sees us. We need to start walking in that reality. If God does not call you son of an harlot, why will you call yourself that? It's only people that see that. And the view of people does not matter when it comes to the dimension of, you know, of your relationship with God. What people say does not matter. What matters is what your father has said. So if God call you a mighty man of valor, believe it and walk with it, that I'm a mighty man of valor. It's not pride. It's what your father calls you. So if you stand and say, you don't know me, or you say, me, you don't know me. You know what your father has called you, and you want to walk in that reality. So the Bible says, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. We're going to skip. I want the place where they called him to come and fight on behalf of the children of Israel. So now, Jephthah, when somebody is an offspring of the harlot, there's a way they look at him in Israel in those days. He's an outcast. They disregard him. You know, they say, are you? We know your mother now. That's crazy. But the children of Israel were in a certain situation whereby the only place where help was to run back to the son of the harlot that they've rejected. So they came to him and said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we might fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did ye not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when you are in distress? So now the word will reject you, but reality at the end of the day, they are running back to you. because you are the solution. We are the solution. So today you might carry the gospel to them and say, you know, Jesus, and they say, get out. Don't worry. You know, when Jesus say, when they send you a dust, the dust of your sandal and leave, what he's trying to tell you is that at the end of the day, they will still come back to you. So whatever the world calls you, you are just doing the will of your Father. But we are waiting for the right moment when they will come, just like my sister shared with us this morning, and say, ah, look, please, we need your help. The church is a place of solution. Amen.
Amen.
The body of Christ, we are a people of solution. We are not a people of problem.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
We are a people of solution. We need to see ourselves in this light. How can we carry the spirit of wisdom and we can't give advice to what this government of the earth can do? We are people of solution. So they came to Jephthah and said, okay, please, we need your help now. Come and be our captain. Now, let's go. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore turn again to thee now, that we mayest go with us and fight the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, that if we do not so according to thy word. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead and the people and made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his word before the Lord in Mizpah. Now, he made some statements here, you know, saying, Lord, if I go and come back, the first thing that comes to welcome me, I would, you know, sacrifice unto you. But this is not my main emphasis. Let's go to the next chapter. I just read that to give us a picture of the story of Jephthah. Chapter 12, something happened. Now, the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore thou pass thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and did not call us to go with thee? We will burn down thy house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hands. Wherefore, then are ye come upon unto me this day to fight against me. Let's stop there. There's something God wants us to learn from this particular, you know, scenario that we just read. Now they came to Jephthah to come and for him to be the captain over them and, you know, lead them. And Jephthah did something. He went to Ephraim. Ephraim were known as, you know, great warriors. And said, okay, please, oh, I need your help in conquering this particular people. But they said, no, go and do it us. And Jephthah went with the strength of the Lord and delivered his people. Now, Ephraim, the people of Ephraim came and said, you went to war, you didn't call us to come and go with you. Why did you go to that place, you know, without calling us and coming and calling us to assist you and rescue you? Jephthah said, I did that, but you did not, you know, hearken to my voice. I want us to see that the people of Ephraim, this is something they do always. This is not the first time they are doing it. If you go to Judges chapter 7, Gideon. Let's go back to Judges chapter 7. No, Judges chapter 8. Please. Can we be fast about it, please? See again. we are going somewhere, we are going somewhere. It sounds funny, right? But we are going somewhere. And the men of Ephraim said unto them, Gideon, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And then they repeated the same thing with Jephthah. But Jephthah did something. Jephthah said, okay, I'm not like Gideon. I'm going to deal with you mercilessly. Now, but what is the picture we want to get? Now, when the Lord does his work amidst his people and among his people, the spirit of Antichrist will always rise up to throw complaint. Now, the spirit of Antichrist will not come and say, I'm Antichrist. But it comes in the form of jealousy. It comes in the form of envy. It comes in the form of truth breaking in Timothy. It comes in the form of slandering, which in the form of strife towards to water down the deliverance that God has wrought. And we need to take our position like Jephthah. We'll see what Jephthah did. Take me back to Judges 12. Go down. So God has made us watchmen over the body of Christ. Now, then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites.
Jesus.
And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when the Ephraimites which were escaped said, let us go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? And if he says no, then they said unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth. For he could not, amen. For he could not frame to pronounce it right. And what would they do? They took him and slew him at the passage of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimite 42,000. Now, this word Shibboleth is an ancient technology of discerning the spirit. Amen. So when we see, amen. Hallelujah. So when, that is why the Bible says test all spirits, whether they be of God. When we see the move of God amidst us in dimensions, and from that move, we see things arising like slander, jealousy, envy. Nobody needs to tell us that that's the work of an antichrist, trying to water down what God is doing in the midst of the people. And what should we do? We take them to the slaughter. Now, the slaughter is through the word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The sword we have is the word of God. We are not going to kill them, physically. But for the sake of the soul of that person, and for the sake of the body of Christ, we put them and put that spirit out of them through the word of God. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know. Now, this spirit is a spirit that has been right from time. Sambalat and Tobiah, they carried the spirit of the Antichrist. When Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, what did they say? They mocked them. You see that in Nehemiah. We don't have time to go there. They mocked them, and then they gathered kings and people and said, let us fight these people. Let us break that wall that they are doing. And what did Nehemiah do? He said, as we build, builders build with one hand and hold their sword with another. That should be our disposition as believers. As we build ourselves in God, we should not forget that also we are carrying the sword. So when we see anything that comes to water down the victory and the dimension that God is opening unto us as his children, we slay it with the word of God. this should be our disposition at this time. And we should also take heed so that we will not give ourselves to this spirit also. When you see a brother or a sister growing in dimension, don't, please, we should not go and be slandering the person and say, look at you, it's only by this one, you know. It's only this that you know. You don't know anything else. It's only power you know. You don't know anything else. It's just only scripture that you know. You don't know. See, those those things look small, but they cause more damage in the body of Christ. Because all those things tend to breaking the bond between, you know, one another. When we see somebody operating in dimension and grace, we should not slander the person, but we should give thanks to God that this person is able to, you know, enter into this dimension. Because at the end of the day, we are all going to be partakers of those things. So the children of Ephraim, just as they used to do, they came to Gideon. Gideon was, you know, just leave them. But Jephthah said, never. Enough is enough. I'm going to deal with you. And Jesus Christ also was not slow to also put the scribes and Pharisees to their place too. It's a similar thing they do. Why do you, whose name are you casting out demon? You this Beelzebub. Yeah, isn't Beelzebub to cast out? Who are you? Should we be? They came with all sort of, you know, lies and everything. And Jesus was quick to also put them in their place. There was a particular time Jesus just, he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Why? Because you stand in the gate of heaven. You are not entering and you are not allowing people to enter. That's the spirit of Antichrist in action. And we have to stand against it. Amen. The spirit of Antichrist should not be found manifesting in the body of Christ. We should take heed of ourselves, watch over us. So I used to make a statement, you know, to my brother, and he used to laugh at me. Hallelujah. When I say, for the sake of my soul, I will not keep quiet. For this, he used to laugh. I say, why? I say, because I'm watching. I don't want to be used of the devil. let me just keep my estate. Let me just, you know, do what God has asked me to do. We need to take it and watch over our souls. Amen. Because these things, you know, it's a man crept in unawares. It's just the Antichrist that does that. So this is what Jephthah did. He took them. So when somebody is talking and you know the person is not speaking the language of the spirit, you know. And you are quick. It's not psychology. You know, it's the spirit that is interacting with spirit, you know. So I'm sorry to for those of us that study psychology, I don't mean to, you know, put it down, but we are talking about a spiritual suzerain, and psychology does not have a place there. So, you know, when somebody is talking off point, you know, and you say, bro, you know that's not supposed to happen. And this is what the word of God said. This will, let us help that person with the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So even at this time, Jephthah, you know, slew them, but we are not fighting with flesh and blood. Amen. We are fighting against spirits, principalities and powers. And we have the sword of the spirit, the word of God, to hack down every principality. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please, what's the time?
10 minutes to one.
To one.
Wow. Okay. Okay, the sisters have spoken. They say a fat portion for them.
Yes. We're ready for the sword.
Amen. So, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets.
Glory.
The life of David is also a life that anytime I read about, I'm always encouraged. The first thing David showed me in his life is that he was a man that respects the grace of God upon another man's life.
Hallelujah.
After all what he did, the exploit that he did, he had the opportunity to kill the person that is, you know, running after him to kill his life. He said, how will I do that against an anointed of God? Even though at that point in time, the anointing is off the life of Saul. But David still had respect that this is the first king of Israel. It will not be from my hand that I will do that. And that is why we need to respect the grace of God upon each and every one of us. That is why it's called a body. Our body have respect for itself. Your brain dare not tear the leg, say it's stupid. You just stay there, it's okay. Go now. Or the brain will tear the hand, say it's useless. It dare not do that. Because it knows that if I say it, the hand can just say, okay, I'm not working today. It will just stay there. But what am I trying to say? God has engraced us with one grace or the other. And it is important that we recognize it and also have respect for it. We are respecting it not because of the person, but because of where it's coming from. And that is why I will say this. I wanted to say it a few minutes ago, but I don't know, I skipped past it. Whatever dimension God is taking us through, because of the principles of act, you know, that the disciples brought everything that they owned and shared it among themselves. And the Bible says none of them was poor. It's also a principle we need to take as a body of Christ, that whatever dimension God is taking us through, it is necessary that we bring it down to the table and let our brethren partake of it. We share it among ourselves. So that at the end of the day, what we are presenting is a perfect church, a church that has touched every dimension of God through individual without lacking anything. So that is why when I see, we should cultivate this habit of respecting the grace of God. Whatever dimension a person knows how to operate, we need it.
That's so true.
And we respecting it is a form of encouragement to the person that, look, we appreciate this particular dimension and grace upon your life. Please press in for that because it's needed in the body. Amen. So David, despite what Saul was doing, he said, no, come on. This man is still the head in Israel. He even cut his clothes and said, King, go see. I had the opportunity, but I won't do that because I respect the grace of God upon your life. And it's something we should, you know, we should always find ourselves doing. So this man, the Bible says, through faith they subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This man did all these things because of what? They availed themselves. They allowed themselves to be used of God. When the Lord came to meet them, they didn't turn their back and say, never. They said,
here I am,
O God. Use me. When you talk about the prophets, we're talking about men like Isaiah, Jeremiah. We're talking about Obadiah. We're talking about Joel. We are talking about Daniel. Prophet Daniel. You know, we are talking about the Hebrew sons, the three women, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody say Ephraim. I don't know if they are prophets. So, but these men availed themselves to be used by God. Now, God is also throwing that call onto us. We are all important in God's hand. We are all important. Nobody is useless. Amen? Amen. We are all important. And our background does not matter.
At all.
You see this man, you see where they came from? Yeah. Somebody came from the house of idol worshiping. Abraham. Idolatry was the order of the day. But God still chose him. Jephthah. Somebody who's the son of an harlot. You know. So their background, where they are coming from, is not what matters to God. What matters to God is making use of that which he has deposited inside of you. So these men, their beginning is nothing to write home about. But when they encounter the God Almighty, they turned, you know, God turned them from the so-called useless men, turned them to mighty men of valor. Men that we still read about today. You know, this is a similar scenario that happened to David. When he was exiled out of Egypt, the Bible gave a description of those people that gathered themselves unto him. He said they were the rejected men. They were the men that was the debtors, you know, the useless men of the community, the outcast. But when they came in contact with David, by the time we got to Chronicles, oh my God, those men, the debtors, the rejected was no more in their vocabulary. We're seeing men of valor, men that slay giants, men that kill 800 with the sword in the hand, men that after the armies of Israel fled, they stood and they fought their way, men that broke through the garrison of the Philistines and fetched water from the well and gave it to David. Those men, their life transformed. So when we come to God like that, God he has the power to transform. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He has the power to transform our lives, irrespective of wherever we are coming from. Yesterday you may be coming from somewhere unknown, but by the time we yield ourselves to God, and it doesn't take long, it can be in months, that story changed. You know, the man Joseph is also is flowing. Amen.
Amen.
So God has the transformative power. Look at the disciples of Jesus too. Where? Tax collectors. You know, tax collectors, they didn't like them
at all
in Israel back then. Oh my God. They saw them as thieves, 419, Yahoo people, all those people. Fishermen. Fishermen, Peter. You know. So some is just, they are just salt that they produce. The zealots. It's only sword and fights they know. They are the MMAs, the boxers of Israel in those days. But when they encountered Jesus,
hallelujah,
their lives were transformed.
Glory, glory, glory.
Complete a total transformation. And they became men that the church was handed over to them and said, be a witness of that which you have received. It is through those men we're able to get the gospel we get today. Because they yielded to the call. What did Jesus do? Follow me. He told Peter, I know you like fishing too much, but follow me. I will make you fishers. You know? He told tax collector, Matthew, I know this money get as it be, but leave it, follow me. Follow me. You know? He met with Paul too, formerly Saul, very religious but in a negative way. you know, and God said, okay, you are doing it the wrong way. Come, let me transform you. The transforming power is still available.
Amen.
And the Lord is calling us to yield to the call. Gideon yielded to the call. Moses yielded. Jephthah yielded to the call. Jesus Christ yielded to the call. Say, I have to die for the sin of the whole world. Not my way, Father, but your way. Are we going to yield to the call of God? God saying, I need somebody who is going to stand in the gap. I need a man who is going to intercede. I need a man who is going to partner with me. I'm not even a man. I need a group of people who I'm going to use to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. I need a people whose life will be radiating my counsel and my will. And are we going to respond? We need to respond. Amen. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just begin to talk to the Lord. Let's just tell God we are ready to yield to that call. We are ready to change our view about God. We are ready to see ourselves in the light of God's view regarding us. We refuse to look down at our weaknesses.